Very special guest today. His name is Ralph Reed. He is the chairman and CEO of Century Strategies, a public relations and public affairs company with offices in Atlanta and Washington, D.C. Provides advice to companies like Microsoft and Home Depot and Verizon. Mr. Reed served as a senior advisor to George W. Bush's campaigns in 2000 and 2004. He was youth co-chairman for the Reagan campaign in 1984. The Wall Street Journal called him perhaps the finest political operative of his generation. He was on the cover of Time magazine. The caption to the side said, "The right hand of God," because of his work with the Christian Coalition, and was named by Time magazine as one of the 50 future leaders of America by Time magazine. Mr. Reed, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Ty.
My pleasure. That is quite a resume, sir, you've amassed over the last several years. Tell me what it was like working with Reagan.
I was youth co-chairman, so I was out there organizing the young people. So I wasn't exactly a peer of the president, but
I understand.
I did get an opportunity to work with his team, Lee Atwater, who was then still with us, and Ed Rollins and Mike Deaver and so many others. And it was a great political team. But I tell you, in '84, selling Ronald Reagan to young people was, you know, like selling ice cream at the 4th of July. I mean, it was just really easy work, and he overperformed among young voters, and it was a little bit kind of a conservative analog to what you saw Obama do in 2008. So I was very privileged to be able to cut my teeth politically as a Reagan conservative, to be part of what we used to call the Reagan Revolution, the first real, true conservative president elected since the Great Depression and the New Deal. And I think he changed the direction of the history of our country and the world irrevocably.
No doubt about that. And then tell me about your work with the Christian Coalition and why you think Time magazine put you on the cover.
Well, I can't really speak for them as to why they did that. But we were at that time in the mid-1990s. A critical and effective grassroots organization that helped, I think, move evangelicals from the fringes to the mainstream of American political life, distributed millions of nonpartisan voter guides, contacted millions of voters, turned them out to the polls, and as a result, helped to elect the first Republican Congress in 40 years. And we were involved in the drafting of the Contract with America, a lot of the ideas that we had for where we wanted to move the country in terms of things like a balanced budget, welfare reform, cutting taxes for families with children, and banning the procedure known as partial birth abortion, all ended up being enacted by that Congress and either signed into law by Bill Clinton or subsequently by George W. Bush. So I'm very, felt that I was really privileged to be a part of history and changing the direction of the country when I was at the Christian Coalition. I'm very grateful for that opportunity.
And you know what? On behalf of everybody in this studio, you're a great American. We appreciate that.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
All right.
To do it.
Moving toward, we're looking at the current, the Tea Party, and I was asked some time back, can you name, and I am critical of the president, I freely admit that, and they say, can you name one accomplishment that the president, that you can say, can you name one thing that he's done well? And here was my answer, and I'm sure this isn't an original thought. Someone else probably said it before me, but I said the Tea Party. That's easily his greatest accomplishment. Tell me your thoughts on the Tea Party, and then more specifically how it relates to the your thoughts on the debt ceiling increase that we recently had in the Tea Party's role in all that.
Well, I'm a big fan and supporter of the Tea Party movement. Somewhat by coincidence, some of the national leaders, particularly of Tea Party patriots, are personal friends of mine. And are from Georgia, which is my home, so I had worked with them politically for years. So I was at some of the earliest Tea Party rallies that were held in the country. Never thought in a million years that it would blossom into as big a political movement as it turned into. But I was very supportive and have been an ally and friend of that movement from its beginning. And I think the reason why is because I believe, as the Tea Party believes, that we need to return to constitutional limited government. We need to return to the vision our founders had of a government in Washington confined to specific enumerated purposes laid out in a written constitution with all other powers and responsibilities either redounding to the individual in various states or cities and communities or the people themselves. And that was the vision that our founders had. I think America works when it's in conformity with that vision. I don't think America works as well when it does not. I think in addition to that, just to respond to your question on the debt ceiling,
right?
You know, for the first time, Ty, since the founding of our republic, we've had a major credit rating organization that has downgraded the credit worthiness of our country. And the reason why is obvious to everyone. I mean, it's the elephant in the room that no one wants to address. And look, I admit it's a tough issue. But we've got in our three major so-called entitlement programs, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, we have as a nation entered into a compact with senior citizens, and in the case of Medicaid, the poor, and agreed to pay liabilities that we have no ability to pay. According to the National Center for Policy Analysis, the combined unfunded liability of those three programs between now and the year 2050 is $50 trillion. That's not $50 billion with a B. That's $50 trillion. If you were to ask, go out and do a poll today and ask a 30-year-old whether or not they thought they were ever going to receive a Social Security check or whether or not they thought there was life on Mars, I assure you a higher percentage would think there was life on Mars. So these programs, and this is not an ideological statement. I mean, in other words, this is not a function of my philosophical views. This is an empirical actuarial fact. There is no way to pay the liabilities long-term of those programs. We're going to need to reform. Obama's got his head in the sand. He won't acknowledge it. He won't propose anything. Now he says he's going to propose something in September. And I think that failure of leadership is why today, in the Gallup poll, his job approval is below 40% for the first time since he took the oath of office.
Do you find it interesting that some of the liberal mainstream press, as they're called, are starting to be more critical of the president? I've never seen that before. Have you?
Well, I would say yes and no. I mean, yes, in that I don't think I've ever seen the media so in the tank for a presidential candidate
right.
in my life, in my career. So on that level, yes, I was surprised, but on another level, no, I'm not. Because the fact of the matter is, it was Obama's failed stimulus plan and his and Pelosi's intransigence in going ahead and ramming through the Obamacare health care reform plan even after they had lost the special election in Massachusetts. And Scott Brown won that election, and it was clear that the country was turning against the Obama agenda. And yet they rammed it through anyway, and it cost them the House, and it darn near cost them the Senate. And right now, unless this economy turns around, they're staring into potentially the political abyss. So all of a sudden, you know, hope and change and the sort of Che Guevara posters in the dorm rooms
right.
in 2008 isn't really working anymore. And I'll be honest with you, I think they're worried. And I think they should be worried.
Yeah, I think they should be worried, too. Now, one question I have for you, obviously your expertise is in many areas, including public relations. And I've heard things like Tea Party downgrade over and over again. I heard Harry Reid recently say that the Tea Party is going to fade away. I don't believe those things. But from a PR standpoint, do you think we're in jeopardy or conservatives are in jeopardy of losing the House if we lose the PR battle?
Look, I think you should always run scared and like you're behind. I mean, you know, I'm an old Georgia Bulldog, and I remember when, you know, Vince Dooley
yeah.
was winning the national championship there with Herschel Walker, and you know, they'd be getting ready to play Vanderbilt, and he'd be talking about how tough they are, you know? And I think you should never, ever be overconfident. I think the House Republicans need to recognize that they have taken some very tough and courageous stands on things like the Ryan plan and the cut, cap, and balance plan and other things that they've proposed that, that tie, getting back to my earlier comment, did show responsibility
right.
in terms of tackling these long-term entitlement liabilities. But look, their opponents are going to demagogue and attack them for that. It's going to be very competitive. It's going to be very hard fought. The labor unions are going to be out there. You look what they just tried to do in Wisconsin, trying to recall those Republican state senators
right.
who took the tough stand. So I don't want to make any predictions about who holds or loses the House. I just think House Republicans need to be prepared for a real, very competitive battle in 2012, I'm sorry.
Let me change gears to the presidential race, and I've got about 30 seconds, but I'd love to hear your comments on this. Obviously, obviously, Rick Perry got in the presidential race, and he's on the campaign trail this week saying that he thought Ben Bernanke, if he for political reasons prints money, that's equivalent to treason. Love to hear your thoughts. Got about 30 seconds.
Well, I think Rick Perry expressed the views of a lot of people who oppose the so-called QE2 or quantitative easing.
Right.
But I think if he had to do it over again, he'd probably use a little different language.
It's funny, they asked him if he would want to walk it back, and he said no, he didn't. And, you know, I think you're right. I think he does speak for a lot of Americans, including myself. So, anyway, we're coming up on a hard break here. But before we go, if folks want to find out more about you, more about the work that you're doing, more about your firm, how do they do that?
Well, the best thing that they can do to reach out to me is through my grassroots organization, Faith and Freedom Coalition. Which is sort of uniting social conservatives and Tea Party activists. And that website is FF, as in Faith and Freedom, ffcoalition.com.
Ralph, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Good to be with you guys.
All right, we're coming.